History's been leaning on me lately. I can feel the future breathing down my neck. And all the things I...
Hey guys, welcome to Recovering with your host, me, Damien Gibson. That's it's on the logo, so you probably already know that. Anyway, this is a podcast where I talk about addiction and sobriety and my journey with that. God, journey's a cringe word, it really is. But, you know, how I'm coping with it all and, you know, hopefully eventually talking about things that you guys bring up as well, and you know, it being sort of a one-sided conversation in the fact that you can only hear my voice, you know, that we will, you know, eventually have a conversation where you guys bring up things that you want to talk about and we talk about them, but ultimately there will, you know, it's kind of a journal as well. I realized the first sort of episode, you know, I wrote a script. I was really nervous about it, you know, because when you start wading into these waters, especially as someone who, you know, I'm not a trained medical professional. I'm not a licensed psychologist. I'm not doing, you know, I don't have any of those qualifications. You know, I'm not even... my dad, who is also sober, has been sober for 30 plus years. So I don't even have that wealth of experience to draw on. But I thought this would be healthy for me and maybe help other people who are trying to stop drinking or get clean, or because I suppose I'll start at the beginning. After I say this, but since I've quit drinking, I've had numerous people contact me, just in my own personal life, about this subject more than anything else that I've ever done. Like, I've played in bands, I've done podcasts, you know, there are things in my life that I've done that I think are relatively interesting, and no one gives a shit about that. And, like, nor should they. None of them have been, you know, overly exceptional. But the one thing that people do reach out to me about is getting sober, staying sober, helping someone that's in a relationship who's having a problem. And I don't have all the answers. I don't have any answers, really. All I have is my experience. So I thought, you know, we could kind of just go through what I've gone through in the last 3 years. It was my 3-year anniversary last week when I released the first episode that was very robotic and mechanical, and I might even delete it because I don't know if it is what I was going for, but you know, the sentiment was true, which is, you know, I don't know, there's kind of selfish reasons for doing this. It's sort of a journal. I think I feel a bit of guilt about getting sober because I think I feel lucky that I came to the realization that I needed to quit drinking, and I feel really lucky that it's been a relatively easy experience for me when I know it's been, you know, just demoralizingly hard for a lot of people. So this is still, I suppose what I'm saying, this is still a work in progress. I don't know exactly what it is. All I know is that I wanted to talk about addiction, especially alcohol addiction, especially in a country like Australia, and recovery, because I just don't think... You know, if you talk to someone like my dad, who got sober in the the 80s, late 80s, you know, when I got sober, I would talk to him a lot because he was already sober, and he would sort of talk about, like, not that I had it easy, but he was like, you know, it's really good that you have friends that are cool with it and get it. It's a lot more prevalent now than it was when I got sober. So, you know, I'm really grateful for you for that, that you get a somewhat easier experience when it comes to that sort of thing. But I think what you tend to get a lot now is people will say that they're cool with it, but they actually are quietly freaking out. So I'll go back to the beginning so you guys get a bit of an idea of me and what happened. And then I suppose we can sort of slowly get, you'll slowly get bits and pieces of me each week, because I don't want these to be super long. And I do hope there is kind of a meaning in each episode. But I think for today there's, you know, or a topic for each week. But I think this week it can just sort of be about beginnings. Because, you know, everybody's sobriety journey has to begin somewhere. And it, you know, people in AA call it the, my dad calls it the road to Damascus moment. he's not an overly religious guy. I think he's sort of being a little tongue-in-cheek there. But, you know, it gets called a lot of names, rock bottom, the hallelujah moment. You know, everybody gets to a point where enough is enough. And, you know, it can be a variety of different situations. For me, it was the day after a Labour Prime Minister, Bob Hawke, had died. That night, me and my mate got very drunk together to commiserate, celebrate that fact. We're both members of the political party, the Labour Party, that he was a part of. He's a big hero in that, in the Labour movement here in Australia. So, you know, we were drinking to that. And we, look, we were to start with, but the night didn't finish until very early in the morning. I want to say early in the morning, it was like 4. And then I had beers in my own apartment that I drank till 5, you know, and it was a Thursday night. So then, you know, I slept for like an hour and a half, woke up, still drunk, had just been promoted at my job. And it was a job working in a call center. And I had formed some pretty good friendships with people in there. And I really feel like they were taking a chance on me because they liked me as a person, not necessarily because of any expertise that I had. Maybe they would tell you different, but that's what it felt like to me. And that, like, you know, within a week I called in sick on a Friday. obviously lying to them. And I just felt, you know, like, I always felt guilty about calling in sick, especially when I was hungover. But this one in particular really resonated with me. Resonated, that's not the right word. I felt sick from guilt. Because the guy picked up the phone was a good friend of mine, or good work friend of mine anyway. And I lied to him, flat out, you know. I got a bit of a stomach bug. And then, you know, did the typical thing that I would always do after I'd had a massive night. It was like, well, you get that initial wave of relief of like, oh, well, I can go back to bed, because you just feel so sick that all you want to do is crawl back into bed, because every fiber in your being is just screaming, you know, screaming with pain. When I drank, I smoked as well. So, but I wouldn't smoke, you know, I would smoke. I don't know, why am I stumbling on this? I didn't smoke a lot when I wasn't drinking. You know, I might have one or two a day. But then as soon as I had a beer, bang, there's at least a packet in that night, maybe two. So, you would get that initial relief of like, oh, fuck, at least I can crawl back into bed, which I did. I probably woke up around midday. the mate who I drank with the night before, I was living above his pub, and I got up to, because I had to go to the doctor's to get a medical certificate because it was a Friday. So I'd had all this fun the night before, but like the next day, there's this whole rigmarole that you've got to go through. And by this stage, I'm 39. This had been my whole adult life, you know, calling into jobs sick and lying to people who had trusted me to, you know, at the very least to trust me enough to give me a job, you know. I'd listened to Marc Maron the week before, an episode of Marc Maron, and he had a guest on who was also sober, and they were talking about the circle of addiction, where you just feel like you're driving round and round the same roundabout, and that in itself can drive you insane, and I was really feeling that this day. So anyway, I went to the doctor, and then for some reason I lied to David, I'm not sure if I should have said David's name on this or not, but anyway, I lied to my friend David, who I'd been drinking with the night before. I don't know why I did that. I was like, oh, I've got a stomach bug, I'm going to the doctor. Why didn't just say to him, saying he was with me the night before, I'm hungover, I've got to go to the doctors to get a medical certificate so I don't lose my job. You know, that was the honest truth of the situation. Didn't have a lot of money at the time because I would spend most of it on booze and cigarettes, so I had to go to a public clinic. Public clinics are always walk-in clinics nowadays to get bulk billed or to get it for free. So, you know, you sit there for an hour until you get a GP's appointment. You walk in there. He takes one look at you. It's Friday afternoon. You smell like booze. You know, I've had a shower and stuff, but still, it's just coming off you. You know, and they go, Damien, what can I do for you today? Sort of thing. And, you know, you lie to a doctor. You say, oh, I've got a bit of a stomach bug and I just don't feel 100% great, and I had to come in to get a medical certificate for work. And they go, and, you know, they type away. And then they pull the medical certificate out of the printer and then sort of passive aggressively sign it, hand it to you, you know. Rest up, you should be fine by Monday. You know, that kind of thing where it's like, just don't be a drunk. So anyway, the round trip, it was like 45 minutes to get to this doctor, an hour wait, 45 minutes back. So you've wasted 3 hours. So even though you've taken a day off work, really all you've done is sleep for half the day. And then the second half of the day is getting the medical certificate to make sure you don't get fired from the job that you've called in sick for. Also, you could drink as many beers as you could humanly drink the night before. And then when I got back to my apartment, it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I had essentially done an afternoon's work anyway, just getting this goddamn medical certificate. And I sat down on my bed and there was just, I just spiraled. I just had this massive crash of depression. And I just couldn't continue to live like that. That was every second, third day of my life was that, just racked with guilt and anxiety. And the other thing about doing that on a Friday is that I would spend the whole weekend just stressed out about, like, am I going to get fired on Monday? What happens if I get fired? I can't afford to pay the rent. Da, 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 da. And I laid down on my bed and something just, after that wave of depression, something just hit me. And I was like, I have to quit drinking. And that was it. That was it. I mean, that wasn't it in the sense of like, and that was it. And the rest is history and my life has been fantastic. But that was, you know, I knew it was there was a significant shift in my subconscious in that moment. And so I tell that story only because I think there's probably times where that had happened to me previously and I ignored it. You know, I think my conscious and subconscious mind knew for years, maybe a decade, maybe longer, that I had a drinking problem and that I should have quit drinking. But I think ultimately it was pure exhaustion of being on that roundabout, just driving around and around it. Metaphorically, obviously, I wasn't driving while I was drunk. And once I had finally made the decision consciously, once I'd finally gone, okay, that's it, enough. I just felt this huge wave of relief. You know, other anxieties crept in and sort of hit me over the next few days, weeks, months, as different things happened and different things circulated around in my brain and around me as a human being sober. But that was my moment. And then the next night I was having dinner and going to a play with my dad anyway. And I kind of, I mean, I don't know this because I haven't come out, you know, being gay or anything like this, but it did sort of feel like coming out to my dad, you know, like, Dad, I think I'm an alcoholic and I'm going to quit drinking, you know. I remember my dad's reaction being like, ooh, that's big. Like, it was just the first thing that came out of his mouth. All the advice and stuff that he gave me after that was amazing. And I would not have been able to get sober if it wasn't for his help. But I'm not telling this story for a pat on the back. Although if you want to give me one, that would be real nice. No, I'm not kidding. I think it would have been nice for me to hear this story from someone else in a forum like a podcast and not have to go to group therapy or go to an AA meeting, because as much as I could be extroverted when I was drunk and I'm doing a podcast, I am really, really, really introverted. I deal with a lot of social anxiety. In fact, I think the social anxiety I had or have, I medicated. You know, once I found booze, I was like, oh, well, I just drink this magic juice and all the anxiety goes away. But it didn't. That's the problem. You were just putting it on hold until the next morning. So I would have loved to have had like a 20, 25 minute podcast where someone spoke like this and was like, hey, this is what happened to me. And if it sounds similar to you, there's nothing wrong with stopping right now. You know, the only thing holding you back from getting sober is yourself. You know, you need to make that choice, you know, and it is a decision. It is a decision to recognize that you have a problem. And then once you've done that, once you've agreed with yourself that, hey, fuck, we might be a bit fucked here, then you can do something about it. You can't address a problem until you realize it's a problem, right? I mean, it sounds obvious, but when you're in it, when you're in being, you know, I don't like the term alcoholic that much because I think it conjures up a lot of really negative images and doesn't help. Like, I get that a lot of people use it, but I think if you say alcoholic to most people who aren't alcoholics, they think of like a, you know, a guy in a trench coat in an alleyway with a half a bottle of whiskey. And that's not most alcoholics. Most alcoholics have families and friends and houses and jobs, and they're trying to deal with all of that shit and an addiction. Like, you're actually, you know, like, to get, like, you're doing it really hard. Like, it's not easy. No one purposely chooses to have problems with alcohol or drugs. So, you know, if you're listening to this and, you know, you're on the cusp, you're at a tipping point, you know, you're never on your own. There's thousands of organizations that you can reach out to. But, you know, sometimes you can just reach out to a friend. What I found was saying it to my dad, saying it to somebody else the next day, held me accountable. You know, I have a problem and I'm going to stop drinking, or I'm going to try and stop drinking. Because I had kind of said that out loud, it was like a pact that I'd made with myself that, okay, well, now dad knows. So I can't fuck this up now. You know, because if I do, because dad's going to check in with me and see how I'm going. And I don't want to let him down by going, oh, yeah, no, I drank 14 beers last night. you know, not that I got sober for my dad, but it just, you know, I did it. I told about 7 or 8 people. Once I told my dad, I was like, oh, no, I think this is it for me. I have to tell everyone I know. And then now that, you know, everybody knows it, if anyone sees me going to have a drink, you know, it was, you know, in retrospect, it was probably putting a bit of pressure on the people who love me, but I needed that help. So that's one way of going about it. You know, and therapy and group therapy, AA, Smart Recovery, all those kind of things are a massive help as well. I went to a couple of Smart Recovery meetings when I first got sober, decided to go it alone, which most people I know who are sober think is insane, but it's worked for me. But yeah, anyway, I just wanted to tell that story because I just thought of someone who's in the same state as myself but not wanting to go into a group of strangers and talk about this stuff. You know, I would have loved to have just heard someone tell their story so I could identify myself in that story and do something about my own problems. If I'd heard something like this when I was 28, well, God, I can only imagine what my 30s would have been like, how much I would have accomplished. So yeah, so beginnings, I suppose, is the title of this episode. And that was the beginning of my sobriety. And hopefully that's helped a little bit. But yeah, if you need to speak to someone about getting sober, I will put some links in the show notes to the show for Smart Recovery, Alcoholics Anonymous, and a few other things that helped me. Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this journal entry chat. And yeah, I'll be back next week with another episode. See you guys. Be more kind, my friend. Try to be more kind.